Well, praise God. Thank God that He is a God of love. I certainly wouldn't have any reason to stand here if He weren't. But God is so merciful. I had thought this morning about Romans chapter 4 and the example of Abraham, and it fits an awful lot of what Brother Steve shared as to what the gospel, the nature of the gospel is, because it's something that we, everyone, need to understand. If you have somebody that has never come to Christ, someone hears this and you've never come to Christ, you need to understand this. But the reality is, those who have come to Christ need to understand how to live it, because the same principle applies throughout. It's not something we can do. It's something God has to do. And we have to just come to Him in faith to do it. But Paul is in the book of Romans unfolding what the gospel is. And, of course, he brings you towards chapter 4 by emphasizing the fact that everybody's in the same boat. I don't care who you are. And Steve mentioned that you know, the best a human being can do is woefully short of what God's plan is. And so God has had to step in and do what for us what we could not do. And it didn't matter whether you were a Jew and you knew all about this law or whether you were just a heathen someplace in another part of the world. The reality is we're all in exactly the same boat. And there's only one way that God can show the mercy that we've heard about today and still be just. Think about the simplicity of that problem. I mean, how can God say, do not do this, if you do it, you'll die, and we do it? How can He show us mercy without violating that justice, that sense of doing what's right? Well, the reality is our sins were punished. They were punished based upon a representative who went to the cross for us. God demonstrated His love for us. How? When we were sinners, not when we had tried to help ourselves and He wanted to help us over that last little bit. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's what love is. It's not just simply a sentiment. It is the power of God to deliver us from this terrible power called sin. It's not sentimental, as Steve indicated. It's a reality of God coming to save us from our sins, not in them. There's a lot of folks that would lead you to believe it's the other way. So the issue Paul is dealing with here is simply, how does a man come to be right with God? How can we actually face that day of judgment that is coming for every single one of us? How can we possibly face that? Given our record, given our nature, given the world we live in, how do we do that? How does a man become right? And it's obvious that there's nothing we can do about it, so it has to happen some other way. That's been made plain. So he begins by asking the question, what then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? The question is, how do you become right? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. But what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. That's what God's looking for. And you will watch Paul unfold this simple principle of somebody who has a heart faith, not in their ability to do anything, not in the practice of their religion, but a faith that God has done for me what I could never do for myself. That's where I plant my hope. It is 100% of my hope. It's not in me, but all in completely invested in what Jesus did for me and God's promise of what He will do for me that I could never do for myself. Praise God. And so he unfolds the principle. Now, when a man works, if somebody works for you and you're an employer or you work, his wages are not credited to him as a gift. But it's an obligation. Obviously, you have a quid pro quo going on there. I work for you, you pay me. However, to the man who does not work but trusts God who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. That is what God is looking for from every single person, is a heart that says, I come to you as I am, just as I am. We sang it. Just as I am. Or we sing it often. Anyway. Can't remember if we sang it this morning or not, but just as I am, I don't have to clean myself up. I could be the worst sinner on the planet, but I come because you are the only one that has the power to make a difference in here. I may be in the deepest pit, but you can reach to the deepest pit and beyond if need be and pull me out and make me as clean as if I had never sinned, able to stand before you on that day. That's the gospel. Folks, praise God for the hope that we have. It puts everybody here on the same level. The people that have a problem with this are the ones that think they're good, think they're something, trust in their religion. My God, I don't care what kind of religion you have. You can come here all your life, and if you don't have this, you don't have Jesus. You don't have life. And you're going to face eternity unprepared. But I'll tell you, there's a Savior who is incredible. The more we learn about him. So anyway, his faith is credited for righteousness. And he quotes David and what he says about it down here. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Thank God. Now, if you're minded a certain way, you could take this and say, well, praise God, it's all taken care of. I can live as I please. I can just sort of keep it, you know, not too bad, but is that the kind of heart that God creates in us? No, I'll tell you, if his Spirit comes in, if we're really putting our faith in his power to save us from our sins, not in them, there's going to be a heart in here that wants to please him and wants to serve him. But I'll tell you, the thing is, there's not one of us here that can do that perfectly. Anybody here? So what about something tomorrow? What about when I come short and I realize, oh, my God, here I am. Lord, you've shown me yet again why I need you. What about that sin? Does he have to go back to the cross and die again? No. His death eliminates the sin barrier between me and a holy God. Praise God. Praise God. We don't have to live in constant fear. That, you know, one ditch is that I can just be careless and live as I please. The other one is, oh, my God, I'm constantly in danger. I'll tell you, he brings us to a place of rest and peace and joy and hope because of something he has done that we could never do. To him be the glory. Praise God. So Paul is dealing with a lot of things I don't want to get sidetracked into, but he talks about, you know, is this only for Jews who walk under the law, or is it for everybody? And he makes it very plain that the righteousness that God had, that God declared that Abraham possessed, came before any of the law, any of its rituals, any of it. He was already righteous. That came for another purpose later, so that Abraham could fulfill the purpose of God, that he was going to be a blessing to all nations of the world. They would all be blessed through him. Praise God. That means us. That blessing that God came to and declared to a man who was living someplace in probably modern-day Iraq somewhere, God gave him a promise and revealed himself to him. We are here this morning because of what God started right there. And, of course, he didn't start it there. God had this purpose before the foundation of the world to have the kind of a world that Steve described. It is coming. This world is temporary. God always knew it was. I've said many times, we have a temporary life and a temporary world, and what happens here determines destiny. And I'll tell you, there is a God who was determined from the foundation of the world to have a people with whom he could share himself. And he knows better than we that there's not a thing we can do to make ourselves acceptable to him, to qualify ourselves to be part of that. The only way we can do it is to come to the realization of what we are and what our need is and to turn our eyes instead to him and say, but God, you have done it, and I surrender. And my hope is in your promise. But that is essentially what Abraham did. God said, I'm going to bless all nations of the world through you. And your descendants, on another occasion, he said, will be like the stars in the heavens. Well, Abraham didn't even have a son at the time, and his wife was getting old. But Abraham simply believed God. He believed what God said. God said, that's what I'm looking for. That's somebody I can work with. You know, Steve emphasized several times this morning about how we can be in a place in our life and we just don't see a way through, or we don't see a way out, or we see something and, oh, my God, what a barrier that is to everything God's talking about. Oh, how can I get past this? I understand nobody hears that way, right? But if you happen to meet somebody, I want you to know what to say, right? Yeah. If you happen to look in the mirror. But I'll tell you, God wants us to realize that we occupy in a real sense the very position that Abraham did. Abraham was faced with an impossibility. Something that had not happened. The only evidence that he had for the reality of what God had promised was God's word. It was God's word against everything else, and he chose to believe what God said and to reckon on that. And the things that he did to obey God did not earn him anything, but what they did was demonstrate that he had real faith. You know, I've said this before. What good would it have done if Abraham had, when God originally called him and said, leave your family, leave your native land, go to a place I'll show you, and, you know, I'll make you a nation and all of that. What would have happened if he said, yeah, God, I love that idea. I'd like to be a great nation, but why don't I just do it right here? Uh-uh. He is the one who is calling a people out of this world. And when he calls us, it is a call of separation, isn't it? We are born citizens of a world that is headed for the fire. There's no other way to put it. There is no hope for the future of this planet, of this world, and its people, and its citizens. God calls us to be citizens of another kingdom, and he is the one who opens the door and says, come. And I'll tell you, those who come, they're going to come because they see and they feel that they feel a real need. They know, oh God, they know the ground upon which they're coming. If there could never be any good thing in me, but I see where I'm at. I see what's wrong with me. Oh God, I stretch forth my hand. But you have called me to come. You have made the provision, and you're looking for people who just are willing to believe you. It's that simple. You know, we make the Christian life so complicated. And we allow so many other things to trump the Word of God. Anybody here? Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm preaching the same thing over and over again, but there's a reason. You know, I was thinking about this. I said, God, every week I say the same thing. And then I remember, some of you will remember when Brother Thomas came back to the church in 76 and there were so many needs. What was his testimony then? He said, God told me for one solid year to just preach nothing but foundational truth. That righteousness comes through what Jesus Christ did, that he has set us free from the guilt and the power of sin. We just need to look to him and emphasize and preach Christ. We don't need to preach do's and don'ts. We need to preach Jesus. Well, sometimes there's a time for just preaching the thing that we seem to, this is where we're at, I feel like many of us. We've come so far in our journey, but we're sort of stuck. We're here. There's issues. There's things that stand in the way. One phrase that interests me, let's see, I better back up here. One phrase that has always interested me, it just seemed like it's stuck in the middle here, and I can't even, yeah, this is one I don't have underlined, I should. But the fact that the promise of God had to do with Abraham being the heir of the world. How many of you know that God has an inheritance? God has an inheritance that he wants to share, and that inheritance is a world, ultimately, that has been described here today, as a world that is free of everything that's wrong with this, that's filled with his life and his glory, and he's going to have a people that are there. Well, he was looking around at this particular time, and in his purpose, he found a man and said, that's my heir. And I am going to share my inheritance with everyone who is descended from him. Okay, so does that mean all the Jews are in and we're all out? See, there's two different kinds of descent, aren't there? There is a descent that is physical. There is a descent that is spiritual. And God gave him that gift of righteousness before the law was ever instituted, before he even had a son. God declared, there's a righteous man. And everyone who hears the gospel today and puts their faith in Jesus Christ, they are children of Abraham. That's made very plain in the scriptures. But what does that mean? That means we are heirs of something that is amazing. But the thing that kind of drew me to this passage is what follows. And I guess I'll just read a little bit here. I don't think it'll take a lot of time. Therefore, verse 16 of chapter 4, Romans. Therefore, the promise comes by faith. In fact, Steve quoted the verse above. It says, the law brings wrath. All the law can do is show you what's wrong. The promise, though, comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed. Now, this is a phrase we've used many times. This is an amazing thing, but we need to reckon on this. I need to reckon on this morning. This is a God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. How many of you are facing things in your life that just aren't? Things that ought to be and they aren't. They just don't exist. That's not in me, Lord. How can I be that kind of a person? It's just not in me to be that. Well, guess what? That's why it's called salvation. The very nature of this is a creative act on the part of God. He doesn't need something. All he needs is someone who says yes, and God can create that which we do not have in our lives. How many of you need something you just don't have? Yeah. But this is the God that we're called to put our faith in. This is not a self-help program. This is not a deal where we get motivated and all excited about, because I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. Or happy, happy, happy. This is a time when many times, like I said Wednesday night, we are brought to places where there's nothing left but naked faith. It doesn't look like it. It doesn't feel like it. There's no natural reason to believe what God has said, but God said it. Because what we're dealing with is a God who began with a purpose. He instituted a plan, and he has given us promises for the carrying out of that plan. What he's looking for is from you and from me is a heart that believes him more than we believe the other stuff. It just says, God, I don't see any way, but you promised, and I'm standing. I'm not going to, as my dad used to say, and I've quoted him many times, I'm not going to sit on the premises, I'm going to stand on the promises. Praise God. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Praise God. I was looking for one quote in here. Anyway, at some point it talks about how God says, I have made you a father of many nations. Now, this is a guy who doesn't have a son. I have made you. What's the tense of that verb? See, we got a God who's not time-bound. He has already said that those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he ultimately he glorified. He has referred to you and to me. Look around. There's nobody here shining in glory. Everyone here who has been born of his Spirit has already been glorified in the heart and the mind of God. That's something we need to lift our eyes and remember. When we're in the battles, when the devil is beating you up with all of your deficiencies, all that's wrong with you, all that's lacking in me. And we're just sitting there wallowing in all of that defeat. We need to remember, God has already done. It's not just that he will do it, that's true enough, but he's already done it. That's amazing. We're called into something that is absolutely beyond description. What it says in Ephesians 3 there. We can't even imagine what he's going to do. But he's not limited. This is the same God who came and there was nothing. And began to speak and there was something. There were stars. There were galaxies. That's the God who has called you and me. And many times we are so bottled up with defeat. Looking inward, seeing these issues here. He created the universe, but he can't fix me. Poor me. And God wants us to look beyond our efforts, our abilities, and realize if He's brought you to a mountain you can't climb, what He's looking for is not to try harder. He is looking for you to reach up to Him and just recognize, God, I can't do this. It's not in me to do it, but You have promised. And start looking to the promise and the promiser instead of you and yourself and your limitations. Boy, I feel like I'm preaching to myself, but is this needed? Is this not where many of us are? We come so far in our Christian life, and it's like, well, I got a ticket to heaven in my pocket. I guess this is as good as it's going to get. I'm just going to have to come to church and go through the motions. But these issues that God is bringing me face to face with, they're just going to, I guess, as good as it's going to get. God wants to prove Himself. And one of the things that really drew me to the passage was this simple fact. It's one thing to talk about the big picture. This is where I'm taking you. Isn't it wonderful? And we hear about heaven and the reality of what God has before us, and we can say, yes, I believe in that. But where we struggle to believe is not that so much as this stuff that's daily, the stuff that we deal with when we get up in the morning and we go through our day and the devil beats on us and circumstances bring us down. They bring out our weakness. That's where we stumble. And I believe God wants to not only give us the faith for the big picture, but the faith for the daily stuff. See, it wasn't just for Abraham a matter of, I'm believing you, but we got an issue here. I don't have a kid. I don't have a son. And he even tried to do it his way. And he had to come to the place where he had to let that go. He let his family go. He let his nation go. He had his own flesh and blood. He said, that's not the one. I'm going to do it. I'll tell you what God is, what we need is only that which God can do. If you have built yourself a religious self-righteousness, throw it in the trash. Paul did when he was Saul the Jew, and he came to realize that's where it belongs. It's in the trash. I've seen Jesus. I know where it's at now. I know that my whole hope is for Him to come in and make me a different person in here. The righteousness of the law will take care of itself while I just let Him live. He's pretty good at living the Christian life. He's the only one who can. But praise God. So here he was. I don't have a son. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact. This is something we've preached on before. So I said, Lord, I've preached on this. Why do we need it again? Well, and he said, look in the mirror. But the reality is we need always to be honest, to face the facts that we cannot live the Christian life. We cannot do what God has called us to do in any kind of, with any kind of human resource. It's a fact. God brought him to the place where there was no human energy that could accomplish what God had said. And God wanted him to know this isn't based upon that. This is based on a divine miracle. This is something only I can do. Folks, salvation, whether it's the big picture stuff or the stuff you're facing right now, only God can do it. Only God can do it. And what He wants for us is to lift up our eyes and say and look to Him and say, God, You have promised. I preached on this last week, for crying out loud. You'd think I'd learn. But the promises of God are the secret to everything. God's answer is always to come to Him and He will take His word and apply it to the circumstance in your life. And now you're faced with a choice. Am I going to believe in the mountain or am I going to believe in the word of God? And you know, for Abraham, it wasn't just some little snap your fingers, okay, I believe, boom, I got it. Many times there is a standing in faith and saying, I am going to stand, I'm going to believe this, if I die believing it. Look at the Hebrews 11 folks. Many of them died in faith looking for something that still hadn't come. but they believed it with all enough to lay down their lives for it. I'll tell you, when God reveals himself, we're going to see ourselves in his light. We're going to see the depth of our need. And for everyone who's willing to face that and say, it's real, I can't do this, but God said. We're going to find that there's a God of the love and the mercy that Steve was talking about. That is looking for people. He's not looking for the strong. He's not looking for the smart ones. Not looking for anything except someone who comes to him as they are and say, oh God, my hope is entirely in you. And I believe your promise. I believe you came to save sinners, not good people. Lord, I qualify, but I'm willing to stake my destiny on what Jesus did at the cross. Every time I need help, I'm going to come back right back to the same thing. God, you have declared to me what you are going to make me. And here I am. I'm in the journey. There's an issue in my life right now where I desperately need you. Oh, God, I look to you right now to give me your words. And I will cling to your promise in the face of this. And I'm going to see this thing through to victory. We have a God who will respond to that kind of faith. Like I say, I feel like I've said this a thousand times, I guess. But is this not something we need? Do we not need to hear it and keep hearing it until it moves from here to here? Until it starts making a difference in the issues of our lives? Does God want us just to muddle through and have these bondages and these areas of weakness and need in our lives? I believe there's a God who's given us everything. What Steve read in Ephesians 3, the unsearchable riches of Christ. That means everything we could possibly need is there. Is he unwilling to share it? Is there some reluctance on God's part? Because they don't qualify. No, nobody qualifies. What qualifies is someone who just comes and says, God, I want you and I need you. And I can't help myself, but I believe in what you have given to me through Jesus Christ. I lift up his name because that, you know, the very name Jesus means God saves. I've said this before. This is not a reluctant God being persuaded by Jesus to show us mercy. This is God was in Christ, as it was said earlier. And I felt like the Lord wanted to encourage me and wanted to encourage every single one of us. I mean, you look down at verse at chapter 6. I'm just going to read a verse here, or chapter 5, verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Just the right time, he died for the ungodly. I don't care who you are today. God's heart reaches out to you. The same call that he gave to Abraham. Come to me. The call that Jesus gave. Come to me. All who labor and are heavy laden. You may know him. You may not know him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. You're burdened. And I'll give you rest. How can somebody like me rest? Because Jesus paid it all. My right to come before God has been taken care of by Jesus. And now he works in me to teach me so that I can live through this life and have that rest and that peace in my heart. I feel like so many of us are kind of in that in-between stage. We found rest in our salvation. We need to find rest in our walk more than we do. But there is a God who wants you to lift up your eyes from whatever's going on in your life and look back to him and say, God, you have brought me thus far, and you will take me all the way home. You've told me it's already finished. I need to get between here and there. I need you to help me, Lord, to take the next step. And if I have to just stand there and declare in the face of the devil, this is what God says, then give me the strength to do that. Because I'm serving a God who cannot lie. His purpose will stand. There's not a devil in hell that can stop what he has purposed to do. To him be the glory. Praise God. Praise God.